Amen. Hallelujah. All right. I had to giggle when you said what you said, and thinking, I told Dean, right? The title of today's message is The Supernatural Realm of God's Love. Everything that was said, from Vicki to Janice, that's all unscripted. That was Holy Ghost. I wasn't sure I was supposed to talk about that. But then he gave me the okay to do that at that time, and a perfect example for that. And then each one of you added something to it, which was all orchestrated by the Holy Spirit, because you were prayed up. And when you're prayed up, the Spirit can do mighty things through you, through me. And that's why I take time to pray. Pray at home. I review the message. I pray at home again. Then I get in the car. I get here. And then I come in here. I pray, and I pray again. Prayer is essential.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, open up to 1 John. 1 John, that's the little John in the back there. You know, you're a couple pages away from Revelation, so we aren't going there. Okay, but chapter 4. Chapter 4. And we're going to start reading at verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and His love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in Him, and He in us, because He has given us of His Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in Him and He in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Because fear involves torment. You know what torment is? Severe physical or mental suffering. Been there? But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, how can he love God, whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. The word love, loved, or loves in there is 23 times. 23 times. What's love got to do with it?
Everything.
That's right, everything. Well, let's continue. Chapter 5 there. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves him, who begot, also loves him who is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world? But he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Real simple again. What's love got to do with it?
Everything.
But that's where your faith comes in, believing that Jesus is the Son of God. The entire new covenant, all that it involves, is wrapped up in that four-letter word, love. According to God's word, we can walk in perfected love while we are here on this earth. God is love, so love itself is already perfected. Do you get that? But we have to allow God to express his perfection in our lives. We do that by keeping his word. The world's systems and ideals, they're accepted as the norm, but they are not. According to the word, if we look at it, that is where the norm is found, in his word. And it also is the standard of life we are to maintain. Man was created to function on God's level. Yeah. Yes, he was. The first man, Adam, walked on that level in the Garden of Eden. But when he disobeyed, what'd he do? What'd he do? It was disobedience. It was disobedience to God. He fell from his position of fellowship and oneness with God when he did that. It took Jesus coming to earth as a man to reclaim the authority that Adam gave over to Satan. Today, every born-again believer can live on that supernatural level through the power of God's love by his Spirit. His Spirit who dwells in you. I've heard the love walk described this way. To walk in love, to live in this God kind of love, is like a man walking in a dense early morning fog. He walks in it until his clothes are saturated with moisture, until the brim of his hat drips with water. You ever been in a heavy, dense fog and walked in it? How it saturates you? I have. Your hat gets to that point and it's just dripping. There's no rain, but it's that denseness of that fog. We can walk in the love of God to the point that our whole being is saturated with love. Every word we speak drips with love, and everyone we come in contact with is affected by that love. We have to set ourselves and be determined to be Holy Spirit possessed. Also, to make up our minds to come to the place in love to be totally and completely filled with Holy Spirit in every area of your life. As we look into the love of God, though, you got to remember this, okay? Walking in love is not just being nice. Jesus was love manifested in the flesh, right? But there were times when he didn't appear to be nice. One time was when he called the people snakes. Now, in Matthew 23, I got to take you there first, Matthew 23. Because we got to look at this in the New King James. Matthew 23 and verse 33. Now this is because this is good here. He says, "Serpents, born of vipers, how can you escape the condemnation of hell?" What are some kind words, huh? That's Jesus. Now I'm going to read you that from the Message Bible. Snakes, cold-blooded sneakers, do you think you can worm your way out of this? Never have to pay the piper? You just got to love the Message translation, don't you? But there's another time, though, when Jesus was talking to the Syrophoenician, okay, woman. You remember that? He called her a dog. He called her a dog. Go to Matthew or Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7. I've got to go back. Go to verse 24. From there he arose and went to a region in Tyre and Sidon, and he entered a house and wanted no one to know it, but he could not be hidden. For a woman whose daughter had an unclean spirit heard about him, and she came and fell at his feet. He was begging him. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by birth, and she kept asking him to cast the demon out of her daughter. She's begging him. She ain't looking up, but she's, "Oh, Lord, help me, help me, help me, help me, help me." But Jesus said to her, "Let the children be filled first, for it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs." Right there, he just called her a dog. Now that doesn't sound like a good old sweet Jesus, does it? But his words were effective. They got her attention, and they penetrated her unbelief. When he got through to her, she quit begging. She raised up and she looked him straight in the eye. And she answered him and said, "Yes, Lord. Yet even the little dogs under the table eat from thy children's crumbs." " She let Jesus know that she wasn't leaving without the deliverance for her daughter. What did Jesus say? For this saying, go your way. The demon has gone out of your daughter. Because she looked at him and said, yeah, but I'm not leaving you till you take the demon out of my daughter. Now he said, get up and go. The demon is gone from your daughter. She got up and she left. There's nothing else in there, right? She got up and she left. Because it says in the very next verse, and when she had come to her house, there was nothing else that happened there. Because Mark's pretty detailed. She found the demon gone out of her daughter, and she was lying on her bed. Healed. Because she got rid of all the unbelief when she went to God. She wanted to sit there and just keep crying and crying and crying. You can cry all you want, but you ain't believing what you're asking God for. All your whining and crying ain't going to do you no good. Look up. Look up. Look to Jesus when you talk to him. Don't hold your head down. Talk to Jesus. Why are you shouldn't be ashamed to talk to him. Not what he's done for you. What he's done for me. Well, you don't know what I've done. Well, yeah, well, I know what he did for you. And he done cleaned you up. Well, I went and did this. Well, that's okay. He's faithful and just to forgive you again. He wants to get you home. He wants to make you have a victorious life here on this earth. Not when you get to heaven, but now. You should be living it now. Hallelujah. Life, or I should say love, is a way of life. A life of being love-conscious instead of self-conscious. If we are not being love-conscious, we will always take the selfish route. Being love-conscious does not come automatically. It requires training. The Word says we are to practice love. Well, we read in 1 John 4, verse 12, if we love one another, God dwells in us, and His love is perfected in us. As we love one another, God's love is perfected in us. So can you see why walking in love is walking in the highest spiritual realm of existence? You are walking in God, and God is walking in you. Human beings are supernatural beings. We are supernatural beings. And we are in a earth suit. Do you get that? See, you were created. You are a supernatural being. We were created in His image. We were supposed to be at His level. That's where He wanted us, right there. Walking in that high places. Not where man has put us. Because of what Satan got. Yeah, when he connived his way in and got Adam to disobey God's commandment. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And it took just one bite. One bite. You know, the first time that you ever touched the realm of the supernatural was when you were born again. Someone preached a word to you. Yeah. You called on the name of Jesus, and then you reached out into the realm, and never again. the same. Never again the same. The experience of the new birth is the most miraculous event that will ever occur in your life. We were reborn. And you can think about this for a minute. From death of trespass and sin. And then we were made alive in Christ. We were recreated and made to be righteous. A spotless child of God, the God of heaven and earth. That's pretty awesome. We'll go to your Anthony, Dean, the scripture you guys used in the jail all the time. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things became new. But you look at that, in Christ. In Christ here is the result of Christ's death for us and our death with him. Because we are united with Jesus, both in his death and his resurrection, meaning we participate in the new creation. This is, we receive the benefits of being restored by Christ to what God had originally created us to be. A new creation relates to the new life and new man, referring to the spiritual rebirth of the inner man through Jesus Christ. This point, though, I got to make, is also a reference to the Genesis creation narrative. You ever think about that one, Dane? A new creation is only possible because of our Creator, who created all things. What are the first five words in Genesis chapter 1? In the beginning, God created. God created. He's the only one that can recreate you back to spiritual life. Because when you don't have him, you're living a death life. Face it. Without Jesus, that's where you're at. Praise God, we're all from there. Spirit of life in Christ Jesus dwells in us. Woo, woo, yeah. Hallelujah. In Colossians chapter 1, Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. It says right here, for by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, that's rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. I like that. All things were created through him and for him. To be recreated spiritually as a new creation, we first had to be born again. chapter 2 there of Colossians, verse 6. As you, therefore, have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Verse 7. Rooted. I like that. Rooted. Do you know, just as plants draw nourishment from the soil that their roots are in, so we draw life, life giving strength from Christ Jesus. The more we draw our strength from him, the less we will be fooled by those who falsely claim to have life's answers for us and our nations. Draw your strength from him, and you will know when you are being lied to, especially by our government. Hallelujah. Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving, such a key for us. But in which of the words built up, established, and abounding are in the present tense, showing us the continual growth that should characterize each and every one of us in our walk in Christ. I include myself in this, just so you know that. Sometimes I use the we, sometimes I want to, when I use the you, it's because I want you to get it. It's for you. And it's for me. Because the more I study this out, the more my eyes get opened up. When people see you, do they see the Jesus in you? Think about that for a second. When people see you, do they see the Jesus in you? See, because you are a new creation. The old man has passed away. The old man's gone. Even when I've baptized people, and then I sit down and say, what if that old man comes back? I said, can't. I done run him out the drain. They're gone. They're gone. Once I pull the drain on, that baptism was gone. The old man's gone. Are you sure? He's never left behind? I said, you haven't seen Teresa when she cleans and puts this thing to bed when we're done with it. She wipes it dry. Yeah. The old man is gone. You are a new creation in Christ. You are an overcomer. Then how do we overcome? By the blood of the Lamb and what? And a word of our testimony. Hallelujah. Come on. How many of you heard the song by Zach Williams called Less Like Me? It goes, a little more like mercy, a little more like grace, a little more like kindness, goodness, love, and faith, a little more like patience, a little more like peace, a little more like Jesus, a little less like me. Yeah, there's no denying I have changed. Because I've been saved from who I used to be. But even at my best, I must confess, I still need help to see the way you see. We all need to be a little more like Jesus. Yeah, a lot less like we are. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Another translation says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. And then I like this one. It says, you became a new species of being that never existed before. I like that one. Some people have experienced only the new birth, not realizing God has so much, much more. Now, many people have taken a step further, and they've experienced the infilling of Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. With the Holy Spirit fully active in us, we have the ability to witness to the world the power of God and of God's love. When we make a commitment to live in the realm of the supernatural through His love, renewing our minds with the Word and separating ourselves from the carnal world and its ways. What's Paul say about it? Paul, right now, here's what he tells us in Romans 12. I beseech you, verse 1, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. This is the committed believer. One who has made the decision to be a holy vessel of honor, sanctified and useful for the Master, prepared unto every good work. That's 2 Timothy, by the way, chapter 2, verse 21. A born-again child of God is bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, joined one spirit with the Lord. Yeah, you can find that in Ephesians 5, verse 30, and 1 Corinthians 6, 17. Okay. Our job is to walk in love towards one another and walk in the magnificent realm of the supernatural. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 15 and 16, and this is you can follow me along. This is the New Living Translation. We will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own work, it helps the other parts grow, so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. But when I got that out, I said, it took me back. It says, it helps. Well, I had to go back and look at verse 16 here. In verse 16, now, I went back to the King James. This is the King James. It says, for whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase in the body unto edifying of itself in love. Wow. The Greek word for edify, oikodomein. There you go. Oikodomein. O-I-K-O-D-O-M-E. And above the E is that line, so that's why it says like domain. Okay. It means to charge as you would charge a battery. As we edify one another in love, we pump one another full of power. By speaking the truth in love to each other, we grow up into Him in all things and walk the earth in full stature as believers, continually building each other up with the Word. Jesus is not coming back for a weak and sickly church. that has been defeated and beaten down by Satan? No. He's coming back for victorious church. So we can say, no, praise God, that's not going to happen. That's not us. See, we're in for the fight right now. We're in for the fight for our freedoms, for our lives, for our children, and for our nation. Why are we fighting for them? Because we love them. We love our freedom. We love the life that we have, the freedom we have through Jesus Christ who sets us free. We love our children. And we got to fight for them. Because, you know, the attacks are big time right now upon all of our children, our grandchildren, and our great-grandchildren. What we establish and do now is what's going to affect our future. And we're not going to let them down. We're not going to let them be taught that they don't know who they are. We're going to teach them that when they were born, the doctor said, this is a female and that's a male. Because I don't care what you do, because when the years come later and they dig that person up and they want to find out who they were, even though they may have been a girl, and they were buried because they changed their name and changed their gender and had that mutation done to their bodies. When they run a DNA check on them, you know what they're going to say? That was a man. That was a man. You can't change who you are. God knows what he's doing. He knows when he created you because he created you in the womb. God knows what he's doing. He doesn't make mistakes. Praise God. And is not marriage being attacked? You look at what they're doing to marriage and what they're still continually trying to do through the courts. We know what the Bible says. He brought the first bride to Adam, which was Eve. He didn't bring somebody else. He brought Eve. He brought a woman. It was a man and a woman. That is marriage. And that's what I believe in because that's what the Word teaches me. Because you go in there and you read what it says when males and males get together and females get together. It's not a good thing. No. In fact, they've interviewed some of them right now. And some of them that are sitting here are saying, the rights that we've been fighting for, if we'd have known it was going to do this to lead to the point for what they're doing to their children, we would not have pursued it. Huh? Yeah. What you reap, we will sow. So what they keep doing, they don't know the effect. The same as the woman, Madeleine O'Hara, who took the fight to the Supreme Court and got prayer thrown out of the schools. She was an atheist. She tried to convince her son to stay, because that's why she didn't want her son saying that prayer. Yet he became born again, wrote books, pastored. Oh my. But where'd her life lead her? Into a hole. Yeah. You ought to read up on her. Well, I have been. Because I'm going to minister on that when I get the okay. When I've got it in me enough to pastor it. Excuse me. We can decree this together. Let's say this. America shall be saved. That's right. It will be. See, we can walk in the realm of the supernatural using the authority of God, but we will never do it until we put God's word first place in our lives. James chapter 4, verse 8, New Living Testament says, come close to God, and God will come close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, purify your hearts. For your loyalty is divided between God and the world. Having a divided loyalty between God and the world is spiritual adultery. And I think we know how Jehovah feels about adultery. Spiritual adultery is unfaithfulness to God. It is having an undue fondness for the things of the world. Spiritual adultery is like trying to straddle the fence with one foot in the world and the other foot in heaven. We can't have both. Jesus warned the church in Laodicea, "I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth." Revelation chapter 3, verses 15 and 16. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17. "Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord." He's telling us to come out from among them. Separation from the world involves more than keeping our distance from sinners. It means staying close to God. When we come close to God, He will come close to us. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1, "Therefore, since we have these promises, dear friends, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God." Separation involves more than avoiding entertainment that leads to sin. It extends into how we spend our time and our money. There's no way to separate ourselves totally from sinful influences. Nevertheless, we are to resist the sin around us without ever giving in or giving up. I'm going to 1 Corinthians, we'll wrap this up. Chapter 10, verse 13. Yeah, brother, we'll go with the Amplified. "No temptation, regardless of its source, has overtaken or enticed you that is not common to human experience, nor is any temptation unusual or beyond human resistance. But God is faithful to His word. He is compassionate and trustworthy. He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability to resist. But along with the temptation, He has in the past and is now and will always provide the way out as well, so that you will be able to endure it without yielding and will overcome temptation with joy." Amen. And when it comes, what are we to do? Count it all joy. Because we will overcome that. Because of the love of Christ. A love that Jesus Christ gave. Yes. A love showing us how much He loved us. Because He gave His life for us. Amen.